Welcome to Geordie Lass and Doc Sass. One day, a Geordie and a Canadian walk into a bar and decide to start a podcast about relationships. And what a topic that is. No subjects are off limits. Get in touch today with us at geordielass.com or email info@geordielass.com and let us know what you think and what we should talk about.
Welcome. Why, hello. Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good. You know how I commented upon your sweater last time? It was blue. I have to say, I have to comment yet again. A beautiful baby pink sweater with this beautiful glow of your very light gray wallpaper behind you. It just feels so serene, so what I needed to see right now.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I like to be comfy cozy.
Comfy cozy is still in fashion, still in season.
Can't buy anything that feels kind of itchy on your skin or doesn't feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
I'm a very kind of like tactile, touchy person.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, yes, I love the feeling of fabric.
Could be the most beautiful garment, but if it doesn't feel nice on your skin, then it's not going. It's not going to fly.
Lovely. Oh, that's interesting. I like it.
I'm just like a little delicate baby.
Yeah, totally.
And soft and gentle next to my skin.
Oh my God. Now you got me started. Here in Greece, let's just say baby wipes are a very big thing here, but I think they're used for number two, which is great. Love the whole getting all the areas. Well, okay. Maybe not get me started that much because I do have concerns about using baby wipes in intimate areas and causing dermatitis, but that's the physician part of me. Anyways, leave that to the side. A lot of these wipes have these, ubiquitously have these pictures of sleeping babies on the packaging. Yeah. And it's so cute that we've come to associate sleeping babies with the nappies or the cloths that we use to wipe up our bums. Anyways, it's just very funny. It's a thing here in Greece.
It's because the babies are all happy, you see, they're happy sleeping.
Well,
they've got nice clean bodies.
It's funny, yes, but the babies portrayed are like a few days old where like they literally sleep like 23 and a half hours a day. They wouldn't be woken up if you had a 10-piece orchestra on them. But it is very sweet. It is so true that the sleeping baby, you're right, probably has a clean bottom. And that's probably where it comes from. And doesn't everybody like a clean bottom, actually?
Well, I have to say, I wasn't expecting the podcast to open up in this way.
I know, I tell
but
you.
Thank you for always bringing an element of surprise.
Oh, well, there you go. That's what I can be counted upon. So I was just in the rural area of Greece, and that's what had me thinking, because I was just seeing a lot of wipes and seeing some beautiful scenery and eating some wonderful food. Amazing
nice.
Food.
Nice. Yeah. Great combination there.
Yeah.
So how are wipes and scenery?
You've got it. You've got it. That in that order. So how are things going for you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. I feel like I haven't talked enough today. I feel like my voice is quite hoarse, but we'll see if we can get it warmed up for this podcast.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, usually the relationship desk of love usually gets us quite spicy. So what's going on over there?
Well, let's see, shall we?
The twinkle in her eye.
So speaking of sleeping and sleeping like baby, I have a news story for you today, which was from The Power of Psychologies, who are reporting on a study that was done, because we like a good study on this show.
Yes, we do.
About adults who share their bed with their partner tend to have less severe insomnia, less fatigue, and more sleep. It says...
Oh, okay.
I know.
Yeah.
So it says young healthy couples underwent sleep lab based sleep studies of two sleeping arrangements, individual sleep and co-sleeping. Mm-hmm. The data that was analysed compared the co-sleeping to the individual sleeping and the interaction effects of the sleeping arrangements with gender, chronotype and relationship characteristics were moreover tested. So it said... As compared to sleeping individually, co-sleeping was associated with about 10% more REM sleep and less fragmented, you see, I told you I couldn't speak today, REM sleep and longer undisturbed REM fragments and more limb movements. So basically, long story short of it is that we recorded better sleep when we slept together. which is interesting because we've had a few things on this program before about whether we should sleep in separate beds.
I mean, exactly.
What okay. to be able to believe?
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Okay. The only thing that I would say, like, I just, the romantic part of me is like, yes, it's like basking in the glow. Yes. So, okay, maybe I'll just unpack what's going on. I have looked into this because I have been noticing, along with my research partner, whom I'm sharing a bed with, sometimes there's a lot of variation in sleep quality. Some nights good quality, some nights bad quality. And as folks who are interested in science, we're like, what are the associations between a good night's sleep and togetherness or not togetherness? Or intimacy and no intimacy? Or does somebody snore or not? Or what's the temperature like or not? But like, and I do have to say, like, preliminary data seem to indicate that a night spent together does result in a better quality of sleep than a night spent apart in our preliminary research. So I think I agree with this here.
How are you documenting your research?
I know, Excel spreadsheets. but why does that then fly in the face of what we've spoken about earlier, is other people swear by sleeping separately and that it has revolutionized relationships and marriages.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think, you know, you are right that sometimes you will sleep way better with your partner, and other times, actually, you know, just having a kind of your own separate space and a change of environment can be the thing that just helps you kind of get off to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that it's not as straightforward as, you know, this is the definitive answer as to how we sleep better, mm-hmm. Whether that's kind of with or without somebody, because there are so many different things that affect it. As you say, kind of, you know, have you been on electronics? Have you, you know, is it too hot? Is it too cold? Are you of a certain age where your hormones decide that they want to just run right with your life?
Yep.
Do you have young kids? Are you kind of feeling stressed? Have you lost your job? Have you got other things that are keeping you up? Have you got other kind of health ailments? I just think there's so much to it that I don't think it can be as clear cut as, well, yes, you're either going to sleep better together or apart.
Interesting. Okay, I think I agree with that. Would we then say that there should be a fluidity in terms of sleeping arrangements, that we acknowledge that there's some things that will promote sleep, some things that will take away from sleep, and that we should have the communication and agility to come up with different arrangements depending on?
I would say so. I think, you know, I mean, my sleep is just kind of off the Richter scale in terms of kind of, I can't even remember the last time I had sort of like a full night's sleep. So there will be times when, you know, I'll just get up and go, and, you know, I'm not necessarily going to wake my partner up in the middle of the night and say I'm getting out of bed. But, you know, you can still have those conversations the next day around kind of what's going on. But I think you do just have to accept that, you know, you still got to function the next day, and there's nothing worse than trying to function without good night's sleep, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important, and I say this because I'm a total princess, is because, like, for me, like, again, I'm a kind of person, I don't know who out there identifies as being one of us, but I can get quite insecure about leaving the bedroom. So for me, the explanation is really important, like, to bring up, like, oh, hey, so I left because of this, that, the other.
Yeah.
This does not mean that I hate you. It just meant that you were snoring, I felt hot. Yeah. I, you know, whatever, or I couldn't sleep, so I wanted to read a book, whatever that might be. Yeah. But a little bit of reassurance goes a long way, just saying.
Yeah. I think the other thing about the snoring, I mean, God, you hear this so many times, don't you, between couples. It's not something you can really help, is it? So, you know, there may be things that you can do to try and kind of limit it, but generally, nobody's kind of going to bed and snoring their head off because they want to disturb the living daylights out the partner. Other, you know.
I know.
So we do both snore at night, often at different times as well. And so, you know, you just got to, like, say it's not anyone's fault. It's, you can't kind of, you're not deliberately doing it as a kind of malicious act. So I think you just have to kind of accept it and then try and get the best night's sleep you can.
I like that. Interesting. Okay, well, that was very provoking.
Right.
If you're interested, do some research like we're doing. But yes, sorry.
Indeed. Would you like to move to a hot topic?
Yes, that's good.
Today's hot topic. Choose your hard.
Ah. Ooh, I love the spicy look on her face. Okay. What do you mean? That's my first question. What do you mean? I love it. It's so cryptic.
So I think in life, we so often think that the grass is greener on the other side. If only this could change, that could change, something else could change, then like life would be so much easier. Things would just be in flow and, you know, be able to exist in harmony. Now, so that often when people think about kind of, you know, their relationship being really difficult, the alternative option is to kind of cut and run and to say, well, I just don't want to be in the relationship anymore. It's too difficult. It's too hard. I can't do it. It's not making me happy. I want to kind of leave. That's it. I want out. I'm done.
Gosh, yes.
But that's not to say that on the other side of that equation, when you're kind of choosing this alternative path that you think is going to be so much easier and bring you more happiness and you know, really make you feel like you're in the space that you want to be in, there's very often some hidden consequences that we're just so not aware of that we weren't expecting, or we get kind of certain feelings or emotions that come up, or thoughts. You know, you might touched on kind of anxiety at the start. Like, there's, you know, there's no saying how you're going to react when you're kind of on the other side of that decision.
Oh my gosh, no. And if you've chosen a path that is leaving a relationship and then either spending some time single or getting into another relationship, what nobody prepares you for is that there, you will pass through feelings of regret, of leaving, you know, no matter how triumphant that, like, that's it, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this hard anymore. I'm going to go find some easy. There's a way around hard, and I'm going to go find the easy path. And there's no such thing. And one of the hardest things is this feeling of regret. And I think when I felt that feeling of regret, which didn't mean that I made the wrong choice, but what it did tell me is that this path ain't going to be easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a whole bunch, raft load of other issues. I think what's really important, like, choose your heart. Okay, now I understand that hot topic, very provoking, three words. But it is like there's no such thing as easy. Like, nothing that we ever do is going to be or should be easy. So how have you chosen your heart? What's been your approach?
I'm the type of person that doesn't like to give up on things too easily. So I'm, and sometimes that can go against you as well as a kind of strategy for life, because you'll kind of persevere with something so much that actually, you know, you do end up causing yourself more harm in the long run, because you haven't just been able to kind of admit when enough is enough. So I think I'm more inclined to kind of choose the heart to kind of, there's some definite kind of grit and determination that kind of, you know, and this desire to not want to kind of give up on things or not wanted to have kind of done the best that you can in various situations. And that, you know, includes kind of relationships, right? So as I say, you know, it can backfire on you because you can then stay in a relationship for too long. But I always think you make the right decisions at the time that is right for you. And if you're not making the decisions, then it's because it's not the right time to kind of to move on or to face kind of addressing situations. So I think when we're choosing hard, we are choosing to put the work in, the effort. We're choosing to do kind of a lot of that introspection and reflection on where we are and the things that we're doing in order to contribute to that relationship outcome, whether it's positive or negative or neutral. You know, what are we doing? What could we do differently in order to improve things? So I think that would be my kind of choose your heart is, right, how do I invest more? How do I If I genuinely believe this is the relationship for me, then how do I kind of do the hard work to kind of get it to a place that I feel happier?
Oh gosh, yeah. And you know, funny enough, like as a coach, in every coaching conversation where it's like, okay, well, what are my first steps in tackling this big project? Yeah. The project could be establishing a career in a new area, or it could be finding a job or whatever. Generally, like if I were to take one of those divining rods, like what are those like wood pieces of wood that like these, I don't know, spiritual people use to detect where there's groundwater? I think it's a bit of a pseudoscience, but like it's this thing. So if I were to sort of like take a divining rod to the question of what does a client or what does any of us need to do as a first step on the way to doing something, to making a big pivot or taking on a big challenge? And usually it's like, what's the hardest thing? What's the thing that you're putting off? What's the thing that you would rather do anything else but? And for most people, let's say finding a new job, doing a career pivot, it's networking and selling themselves and getting out in front of people, clients, potential colleagues, potential boss, and having 500 conversations. That's the thing. What are the easier things? Making your website, making your business cards, making anything else other than getting yourself in front of people. So that's the hardest part. The hardest thing, the hardest step is usually the most important step. And so if I think about like, what's the thing that I should be doing to either improve my relationship or learn some lessons and tools along the way for my next relationship if this one doesn't work out? And it's usually like the hardest thing would become a more mature communicator or point out how I'm sticking a needle into the back of my partner by disrespecting them in a certain way or withholding their love language in a certain way or being childish in a certain way or whatever, any number of faults and silly things I do. So when figuring out like what's the first step in making something better or doing my part, it's like, well, what would be the hardest thing for you? What's the thing you were resisting doing?
Yeah. And I think it's important to kind of take that one step further, which is not just the kind of what am I resisting, it's the why am I resisting it. So what is it about this step that feels really uncomfortable for me? Is it, you know, that I am worried about the outcome? Is it that I don't know how to do it? Is it that I just kind of, you know, feel myself emotionally shutting down whenever I think about that task? You know, so really kind of breaking it down as to the kind of the why.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Why am I avoiding it? Why can't I do it? What is it I need? If I was going to be successful in this area, what would I be doing differently? That those sorts of questions, I think, are quite important.
Oh, you know, I think one of the biggest, if I dig down and ask myself that question, it's usually I don't feel like it because I feel like I've done enough and it's not fair because my partner hasn't tried and I do much more work.
Yeah, why should I do it?
Yeah, I'm going to be a five-year-old and I'm going to sit and throw a tantrum until they recognize the error of their ways and make this magical turnaround and become a better person.
Transformation.
All they need to do is become a better person and stop being such an asshole. Like that. Okay, how much agency do I have in that? Zero. Zero agency.
I did have one client who I did kind of initial session with, and the conversation was, so, you know, kind of what is it that you really kind of want some help with? And the response was, I need you to tell my partner to stop. And then listed out a whole series of things that this person should talk to.
Yes.
Like, okay, I'm not sure that's how this thing works, but anyway.
Well, and the lovely thing, hey, listen, I don't fault you. I've got the same list, or I did, or I have. And of course, and the sweet thing is we can all have a chuckle and be like, okay, well, all right. I wish we were coaching your partner, but they're not here. So what is one thing that you could take on for yourself? And it's a nice way of thinking. You don't have to make a list. Just what's one thing that resides within your scope of control to take on as a challenge?
Yeah. I think the other thing that can be quite nice is to think about, what is it that I want on the other side that I think I'm going to get?
Yeah.
By kind of switching and, you know, kind of changing my life in a different direction. What is it that I think I'm going to get from that? And how do I bring some of that into today?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. There is, an incredible thing of when you can walk away and say, I got vulnerable, I tried, I got into the ring and I fought a good fight, and whatever happened, happened. But I can walk away saying, I gave it my all.
I did my best, yeah, yeah.
Because when I'm having a tantrum and sitting there like a petulant child, I cannot in all consciousness say that I've tried. I may say, well, but I've tried in the past, but I can't say I'm trying now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Choose your heart. Adulting.
God. Damn, who said we had to do this?
I know, absolutely.
I swear somebody told me when I was in my 20s that like once you got to a certain age, everything was plain sailing. And I genuinely think that it's kind of like the opposite.
Did somebody say that? Wow.
No, I don't know that somebody actually said. I think it was, you know, one of those kind of, we all have these societal stories that we subscribe to. I think it was that sort of thing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm bigger, when I'm older, when I'm everything settled, like life will be amazing. It'll be great.
Yeah. But you know what? It is really great, but it's on the other side of the mountains of dismaying amount of work. Cool thing is, though, man, we observe a lot of people doing some very, very hard work. And it's so cool to see people step beyond themselves to show up in a very different way. And then to see what amazing results.
Yeah.
I have one amazing client. Their biggest block is getting in front of people. And they showed up at a sort of an event, a networking event. And they came out with like two handfuls of business cards. And they were like, I would never, ever have done this. But, you know, I just said, what the hell? Just get in there, talk to people, get in front of people, say yes to a conversation rather than no. And then they were just, they were successful. And I was like, I know how hard that was for you.
Yeah. No, it's lovely to witness people when they do kind of, you know, really just kind of step up and just push against the things that they most, you know, least want to do.
Yeah.
And then get through the other side of that and to see the kind of the happiness and the confidence that grows as a result of that.
Oh, the confidence. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, nice. Okay.
Okay. Mm. Would you like a question?
Indeed I would, miss.
Since I've moved in with my partner, I've started to see a different side to him. He's always in a bad mood around the house because of his financial situation, and there isn't much romance left. I feel like we've rushed things, and it was because we panicked about the money situation. Should I break up with him? Wow.
I was just thinking about
this. Choose your heart.
Choose your heart. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I do have to say, like, I am somebody who's exquisitely sensitive to the loss of that initial effort that we show each other when we're in the courting phase. Mm. And I get so used to that. Two things happen. Number one, I'm very aware of if my partner is slipping and I'm like, well, that's not how they were when I was first dating them. Or, oh, they've gotten kind of lazy or so forth. Mm. And I'm also then totally blind to what I'm doing to let go of some of the things that I was doing above and beyond to show up, you know, spectacularly in the first dating period. So I really am very sensitive. It's inevitable that you're going to relax. And by relax, you're going to put less effort in. It's a real challenge to show up and keep putting, you know, effort in. Surely it can't be like the same weeks of never being apart and just the love letters and the romance and stuff. But it like all of us, I think, have suffered that crushing experience of seeing things really change. And so I feel this person's pain.
Yeah, yeah. But there's three kind of very complicated parts to this question, I think. So there is, yes, that initial kind of, you know, we've moved in together, we don't have that same kind of romance factor that you would have had before, where you look forward to kind of spending quality time together and you make those investment in those arrangements and you kind of show up differently. So there's that's one side of it. I think the second part of it is actually kind of, you know, moving in with a boy can be quite hard. And I'm sure it's the same, a girl moving in with a guy moving in with a girl is, you know, you both got to adjust to a whole different rhythm and routine and way of being and existing together. So that can be quite tricky to navigate, I think. And then the third thing is this kind of money pressure. So doesn't really go into any detail about what that is or what it looks like, but there's clearly something there, and that is having this this reaction on kind of his mood. And because you're there 24/7 and you're witnessing it, whereas before, you know, maybe they were able to kind of park that for a second because mm-hmm. and just enjoy the moment, because it was only switching off for a few hours and then it's fine, I can go back to worrying about it when I'm kind of back in the confines of my own space. So I think there's three kind of very tricky parts to that.
Yeah, and then furthermore, how acceptable is it for somebody to be in a foul mood perpetually around finances? You could say taking it out on the other person, when really the other person, you know, it's not their fault. It's just that this is a bigger problem than both of them, right? You know, but what happens here is that they then take separate sides. There's this kind of like, he's always in a bad mood. I feel very defensive because I feel kind of like, is he blaming me? You know, why is he being so mean? And then she maybe puts her walls up, and then he's like, oh, she's, you know, this kind of vicious cycle.
Get into the negative dance, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, really, but it illustrates, how do you two handle stressors together? Do you isolate, pull back, and put a wall up and stonewall? Or do you lean in together and you remind each other that you're on the same side? And it can, you know, financial difficulties, loss of a child, like loss of a job, loss of like a massive trauma. There's just so many things that we face in life. And this is probably their first big challenge. And it came right at the start, unfortunately.
I agree with that. I think it really is hard, isn't it? Because when a relationship's all kind of, you know, all happy and we're enjoying each other's company and we've got kind of, you know, everything that we feel like we need from that relationship, when something suddenly comes along to turn that upside down, it's a bit of a shock to the system. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't had to navigate anything like that before, then just knowing what steps to take and how to address that can be really difficult.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot on the plate here. And I think that you said choose your heart. So does she break up with this guy immediately? Well, I mean, number one, abuse, manipulation, neglect, that's a yes. But otherwise, you know, this is your heart. You know, this is the heart that's served on your plate. Grass ain't greener on the other side. So, you know, what kind of initial steps might she employ? Just because we're coaching her, we're not coaching him. She's the one who asked. So, what might she try to start to offer the possibility for both of them to get onto a new track?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, let's assume for a minute that the option of should I break up with him is an extreme reaction. Let's assume that for the purposes mm-hmm. of the kind of question, because we can often see that, can't we? It's that you get that extreme reaction to a situation because you don't know what else to do. So therefore, the only other option that you do know how to do is to say, right, that's it, I'm going, it quits. Mm-hmm. And that can often come because there are kind of certain elements where maybe we feel like we're not getting our needs met. And as mm-hmm. a result of that, we've gone kind of straight from 0 to 100 and said, right, I'm done. So let's assume that that is the case and that's what's happening. So I think if it is that, then it's trying to kind of really understand the dynamics here. So what is it that's happening? How are we behaving with each other? What am I doing that's kind of triggering some responses in you, and vice versa? Mm. And then which kind of, you know, one or two of those do I want to start with in order to try and tackle the situation? I think you said very early on in the podcast, and you've said it again today, around kind of, you know, remembering that you're on the same team. So if you look at it through that lens, if I say, well, we are in this together, we did make this choice, whether it was rushed or otherwise, and we made that choice for a reason. So what, you know, what was the reason? What was it that you wanted to kind of to bring you both together? Why is it then that you were happy to support this decision and now you're having kind of some doubts? So really look at that as a way forward to kind of to remind yourself exactly kind of what you've got and then potentially what you might be sacrificing or losing if you do kind of decide to call it quits.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Heck yeah. I think, too, you know, oftentimes we don't know how to start the conversation in a way that doesn't just fuel more kind of walls and flinging stuff at each other, figuratively speaking. And what can be helpful for the person asking the question is to start a conversation along the lines of, you know, maybe sort of summarizing, kind of getting on the same page. I understand that we're under a fair degree of stress. This is serious. This is kind of what it looks like. And it may be helpful to reflect, you know, I find this hard because in addition to the financial issues, I feel like I am concerned because I feel like you are in a bad mood or that you're distressed or you're unhappy.
Yeah.
And that this is sort of a more often than not situation in our home. And it gets me worried, fearful. I start to take it personally, like, you know, perhaps I'm to blame and it brings me down. And it overall just terrifies me that your reaction, and that it seems to be that, you're not a happy camper, basically. Have you noticed that your demeanor is not happy or that you're not happy in our home or in our conversations? And it can often be that, and I would say workshop that because that's not particularly, I'm sure all of our listeners could do a way better job on a better draft than that. So that was pretty, but, it could be your partner has no idea. They might be like, I'm not in a bad mood. What? No, I thought there's some people who really relax into relationships. Like they really are kind of themselves and they just kind of like, and to be honest, it can be a sign of comfort in a relationship, but it's a bit too comfortable. It's like, come on, like they kind of forget their manners a bit. Sometimes we forget our manners around the people that we love. We stomp around, maybe it's our mother, or our sister, but it can be our partner too. Mm. And so it may be really important off the bat to say, you know, I want to work together on this financial stuff. I want us to be a team, but I can't work when you're in such a foul mood. Like it brings me down. It makes me fearful. It reminds me of my home of origin where my dad was always in a bad mood and it just doesn't bring out the best in me, whatever that might be. And it can be really helpful to illuminate to your partner, again, remembering like kindergarten students, okay, remember to say please and thank you, just basic decorum.
Yeah.
We really have to, it goes a long way in a relationship.
Yeah. And often, you know, we think about things from our perspective, but if we can take a step back and try and see it from both angles, then that can help us to be a bit more compassionate towards our partner and kind of what else might be going on for them.
Oh, yeah. And that's a great strategy in coaching, which is to help the other see, you know, because in the situation as painted, there's not like a bad person and a heroic good person. It's, you know, and if we got to speak to the partner, there might be some additional details that might come forth, which give so much juicy content in terms of, ways that we can start to show up in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely more to it, I think, than kind of what the listener has shared. But, you know, we can only go on what they have shared. But I think there's definitely more to this. And if we were in a kind of coaching session or a couple's coaching session, we'd be able to tease out a lot more of those kind of, as you say, those important details and how kind of both sides are feeling.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, what this sounds like is, to your point, is it, break up? I mean, you're going to hit adversity with anybody that you're with. The odd kind of gift about this is that you pretty much hit like level 12 video game right here. So you get to find out how you show up to the situation, how they show up, and how you both show up right off the bat.
Yeah, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Benefit being, it's before you're considered common law. Just saying. Always nice to know that before the common law status kicks in. Just gets a little bit easier to, a little harder to leave if you're going to have to do that. So I say lean into the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah. No. It is not easy. No, you're right. It's not easy. How your voice, because you said you hadn't been speaking all that much today, so.
Yeah, I think I've warmed it up just in time to finish the podcast.
Yeah. You've sounded stellar this whole time. Yeah.
Well, it is always good to have a relationship chat with you, Anna.
I love it. I especially love being like, choose your hard. And the cool thing, because that definitely wove through our whole podcast.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. On the note of, because I don't think we can put a finer underline under that, any final closing thoughts on the choose your hard? Putting you on the spot.
I think, what if we didn't think about it as hard? I think there's this, we have this kind of real negative connotation with kind of putting in some work and, you know, making an effort in a relationship or, you know, tackling some of these challenges that kind of come our way. What if we didn't think of that as being hard? What if we thought about it as just a great kind of chance to develop, grow, learn more about our partner, learn more about ourselves, and bring us closer together?
Ah, yeah.
So, yes.
Oh, that sounds really awesome. Because if we spent life like fighting against the inevitability of challenge and hard and pain, it's just a long life of shaking our fist, being like, why is it this way? And if we just, again, acceptance, it is this way. And then how do we look at the growth opportunities?
Yeah.
Why has this been put in my path?
Yeah. Well, it comes to this kind of awareness, acceptance and choice, doesn't it? We talked about it.
Ah.
It's part of our kind of, you know, principles in coaching. So if we've got that awareness, we can feel that something's happening. You know, we accept that actually this is, for whatever reason, this has come our way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can start to make some choices, and then we can trust that, you know, trust the process.
Yeah, you've got it. Ah, all right.
So it was a pleasure as always, madame.
Yeah, indeed. It skates us right into dinner hour. Yes.
Yes, indeed. My tongue is rumbling.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay. Wonderful. I am not going to cook tonight. I have decided. I'm going to cook tomorrow. I'm going to, there's this beautiful lentil salads. There are this thing in Greece where you're using like black fava beans or like black, like just bulgur, cool, amazing, like really crunchy, awesome, proteinaceous beans with amazing like olive oil and vinegar with a bit of honey and some fresh tomatoes and so good. So
you are making a hungry girl even hungrier.
I know. It's, I know, for everybody out there. Sorry. Not
I
sorry.
Have to say, if we didn't do a relationship podcast, I reckon me and you would definitely do a food podcast.
I think so. Totally. Exactly.
We love food so much.
Oh, I always have the question of what's in that cool, like everything cooks, it can do everything cooker tonight.
Oh, my Thermomix.
Yeah,
I did chicken pad thai the weekend in the Thermomix.
Are you kidding? Anyways, like, we do not get endorsements from this machine. I'm telling you, like, I don't even know what this machine is, but I'm just like, you can put all the things in and it just whips it up. What?
Yeah, it's great.
That is insanity.
There's still a little bit of kind of prep and following going on, but yeah, it's
great. Oh my God, that's so wild.
Yum, yum.
All right, it's dinner time.
All right. Till next time.
Till next time.
So that's it for another week of Geordie Lass and Doc Sass. We hope you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed chatting. Get in touch and share your questions for relationship remedies and any hot topics you want us to cover. If you need help navigating all things relationships, Anna and Sarah are available for one-on-one coaching support. Email info@geordielass.com. Please remember to like, share, subscribe if you've enjoyed listening. And if you've not, how on earth have you made it this far? I promise we'll try harder next time.